This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour of the Greg Hill Show is sponsored by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more saving. It's Kaplansky.com.
And now.
Last night I was shooting the breeze by the fire pit. I'm like, you hear the hill, man? And my buddy's like, yeah. He's like, we're liking it. It's getting good.
So, all right, good.
I'll go with a strong 9-2. You guys have really come a long way.
Well, listen,
give us a little while here, you know? We're like the Patriots receiving corps.
Cultural change is hard.
Still broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Everybody be safe tonight and
safe,
tomorrow.
Guys.
All across the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Or streaming at WEEI.com.
And the radio.com app.
Intercom.
This is
The Greg Hill Show.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Morjesta, Tux.
Morjesta, morjesta. What's up?
With your host, Greg Hill.
As Mr. Kraft once said, and I continue to play that audio every chance I get, I've been there since the beginning.
You have.
Less than enthusiastic response there, guys.
Featuring Greg's trusty sidekick, Danielle Murr.
I just want to tell Danielle one thing. Greg's come a long way from Chris Engel, so I don't even know if people know that name. Danielle, you're a big upgrade.
Yeah, she's an upgrade.
That. Joined by...
They jell of us!
Wiggy.
What? Do we even need to say that Wiggy is here?
I mean, no, I think it's obvious. I mean, can you talk a little more? Can you bring the energy
I'm
up?
I'm trying.
And Wiggy is the best thing to happen to this radio station.
Wow.
That might be a little
nah,
bit.
Rich, don't back down. Listen, stay true to your guns.
And still here, Ken and Curtis.
Ken, fake take Laird, may have been speculating about last week.
Uh-oh. Ken, do you want to weigh in on this?
Really pathetic.
It's pathetic.
Oh, shut up, two-dimensional.
We could have done a remote on Storo Drive. There was nobody there.
By the way, Danielle is already clubhouse leader for sick burn of the day, calling you Flat Stanley.
Oh, you like that?
Oh, I thought that was.
You think
I was tight. I'm thinking about mailing Curtis to a friend in Cincinnati later today.
Now it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
How could it happen?
What are we doing as a society?
On sports radio,
from your lips to God's ears,
WEEI.
Wiggy is here this morning, and still to come, Julian Edelman of the New England Patriots. He is scheduled to join us sometime before the show ends. But yesterday, Jeremy Piven, the actor and the comedian, was here at the radio station.
Was he really?
What is now? Why are you focused on the fact that you think he was under the influence?
I have a good drunk gar.
Drunk gar.
Did you buy that online?
I did. You're actually out of the truck
image.
I think he was just tired from flying. He had flown all night. Curtis believes that he was. Curtis had to go buy him food, Wiggy. Mm-hmm. So he had to go down to the vending machines.
Right.
And
a lot of choices down there.
I'm sure you're a frequent visitor to the vending machine area. And so Jeremy Piven is in town because he is at the Wilbur on Saturday. Where do we begin this interview?
We begin by asking him about the food that I purchased when he arrived.
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
I wish I was eating what Tom Brady would eat because that would be some ozone fueled water. He would probably be having some sort of paleo situation.
Yeah.
Because look, we all love Tom Brady. Let's just be honest. I just want to know what his regimen is.
Because
he's killing the game. Yeah. He's ageless. And I celebrate him. I'm not jealous.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to know what's going on.
I saw recently, though, that you tweeted that the GOAT was Walter Payton. And, I mean, there's only one GOAT.
Jeremy. No, there isn't one GOAT. There's many GOATs.
Oh, there's
Tom
goats.
Is one of them. And Walter Payton is another. You know, Brian Urlacher as a linebacker is another. Mm-hmm. Julian Edelman, another undersized white boy. Oh. He's half a Jew. I'm a full Jew. We're one and a half
it's your
Jews.
People.
It's coming Tuesday nights, one and a half Jews. It's gonna be me and Julian Edelman. You know,
So yeah, I noticed you helped yourself to our. We have a cafeteria.
Oh
here
my God, you're outing me! Yes, I went to your cafeteria. Yes, I'm eating your food.
Well, we have like a turkey, some kind of a turkey sandwich.
God, this is horrifying.
A delight and some yes. smart food, but
yeah.
Listen, last time you were here.
Yeah.
You showed up out of the blue at the Greg Hill Foundation Seaport Strong event at Del Frisco's, and I didn't really get a chance to thank you for that. So I wanted to thank you for coming to that event.
It's the least I could do, man. It was my honor. I went right from there to jumping up on stage at Laugh Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And now I'm back here to be at the Wilbur Theater.
Saturday, awesome. Right?
Saturday at the Wilbur Theater at 9:30. Yeah. All the kids can come out and it's my honor to make them laugh for an hour of solid jam packed stand up, impersonations, stories from the road,
everything.
Stories from Entourage.
Everything.
Last time I was performing, our boy Julian Edelman actually showed up.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
yes,
was an honor.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. And
to make that gentleman, that stud, laugh.
Yeah, I mean,
what a stud. And, are you kidding me?
Undeniable.
Curtis wanted to ask you about those guys on Entourage, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So Brady, Gronk,
yes,
and Edelman, uh-huh. all were on the phenomenal show, Entourage in the movie.
Yes.
Which of them needed the most takes to get their spot ready for air?
I mean, I'll be honest with you. There, first of all, I looked up at one point, and this is no joke. Gronk was serving soup to the extras, and I was
is
like,
"That code?
That's not code, but that'd be an amazing code. That would be amazing.
That'd be the best code,
bro. You're gonna serve some Gronk to the extras tonight? Yeah, brother. The extras are gonna get Gronk.
Like, Gronk's
what is that?
Gronk.
No, he just
it's like a broth. It's
I mean,
like
it is. Broth. It's a frothy situation. No, Gronk was. I mean, he's just such. He's what the Jews call a mensch, which means a good person. He was literally ladling out soup. I was like, is he 6'7", 6'9", whatever he is. The apron didn't fit him, and he's just doing... And you know, Brady is a guy who's very close with Wahlberg, obviously, and he's shown up for us multiple times to do cameos. So, you know, and you get, like, no money. That guy is the real deal. And Edelman is too big for all of us now.
Yeah, he
not
is.
Not literally, just figuratively.
No, he is. He big leagues everybody.
No, look, Edelman's one of those guys who he's a constant source of inspiration to all of us. Because, I mean, people forget he came into the league as a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they drafted him and they just knew that he was just a hardworking guy that gets in there and he's just a grinder. And now, you know, here he is, the MVP of the Super Bowl, just running routes and crushing people. And he's my size. So, you know, don't
well,
laugh at
you,
me.
All you Hollywood guys, when we meet you,
size,
you're
right.
tiny.
Yeah.
It's like Tom Cruise, the guy. And you know what?
I wouldn't say, by the way, none of us are tiny.
Well,
we're just average-sized
yeah,
human
right.
beings.
Yeah. You're not like Gronk size.
No. Yeah. Come on.
Listen, you're a huge football fan. What is the I think the rest of the country feels differently than we do. what is the prevailing opinion on Tom Brady? Do you think he's gone from here after this year?
I think they'll look back on him as the guy that kind of, you know, broke through in terms of people aren't even talking about his age anymore. You know, when you're approaching 40, they're like, you know what? Greatness grows old in a day. And it's like, no, it doesn't. And I think, listen, you know, I can't imagine walking away. He's in the prime of his life. How can, if he's still operating on the highest level, which he is, why would you walk away?
Yeah.
I think he'll probably play till he's 45 and he'll leave on his terms. And, but, you know, no one's done it like him. I mean, he's got a great regimen. Obviously, whatever he's doing works. His offensive line wants to kill for him. Because he's a decent human being and he works really hard. I mean, there's just all these variables that none of us know about. You know what I mean? To work in that system, you have to be all in. So, you know, he'll just keep going and he'll go out on his terms. But, you know, he'll probably, one man talking about it, he'll probably go till mid-40s.
Who's the Hollywood version of him? De Niro?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Who's the Hollywood version
of... I'm always surprised by how old De Niro is.
Right.
When you find out how old De Niro is. I mean, Robert Redford has stopped. I think he did his last film.
Eastwood stopped.
Which I think he did his last film after he did that one where he was by himself on the boat.
Right.
And that was probably should have been not his last film. The previous one should have been.
Last one.
I think, you know, it could be anyone. Like Denzel's in his 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And you would never think that.
Right, yeah. Right.
So I think he is like Brady in that way, that he's ageless and he's still crushing a game and on top and doing his thing.
By the way, speaking of movies, BuzzFeed just put Rush Hour 2 on the list of sequels that are better than originals.
And I played the Versace salesman in that movie. And I talk about that on stage, by the way, at the Wilbur Saturday Night. Nice transition. No, Chris Tucker, Jackie Chan, myself. And I did 40 movies before Entourage. People don't even know that.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. And that's, if there's any success I've ever had, it's because I'm totally delusional. And I would take these tiny roles and make a meal out of them. And that was one of them where my line was, "May I help you?" And that was it. And then I come prepared, and I just keep talking. And, you know, Jackie Chan was like, "There are many men chasing us." And I just said, "As well there should be." And then they just kind of, no one yells cut. So I look at Chris Tucker, and I go, "So you've got the mochaccino skin. Let's put a dead animal on you. Buttercream, buttercream, croc skin. What's below the waist? Mystery meat. Let's go in." And he goes, "Hey, sweetness." And I was like, "Oh, little Kim." You know, and then I look at Jackie Chan, and he speaks Mandarin. And my only line was, "May I help you?" And he was totally stumped. And I talk about it. Then Mike Tyson is on the set. They couldn't throw him off. It was just madness. That's the type of hilarity you're going to see at the Wilbur Theater. Saturday night. Saturday night.
It must have been last week that we were talking about the fact that they're remaking Home Alone. Is that like the most ridiculous? Do you think, maybe you disagree, but do we need all of these remakes when it comes to classic Hollywood films?
Listen, if they feel like they have something to offer, then why not do it? You know, why not? I think people right now, it's so interesting. Like, you know, you guys are lucky because people are going back to radio. They're going back to podcasts because I think
technology. Not this show specifically.
Not this. No one's listening to this. There are 11 people listening to this show.
Yes.
And 9 of them are my mother.
Yes. But Hollywood needs to get people to come back. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. What I'm saying is I think that, like, people are looking for comfort food, and I think that's why you see Friends, like, you know, trending on Netflix and stuff like that. So Home Alone, I guess they want to see it. I mean, Macaulay Culkin is a professional poker player now, and he hasn't acted in a few years, I believe. So he might have some rust on him, and that's a variable. Do you know what I mean?
That,
I
think it's
a variable.
That would work, actually.
So, Jeremy, speaking of coming back, my favorite TV show of all time is The Office.
Okay.
And I was researching for this interview.
Yes.
And I saw that you turned down Michael Scott's role.
No, well, let me clarify this for a second. They came to me, and I did my research, and I watched The British Office. And I just have to say, Ricky Gervais crushed it so hard. I looked at that. I'm delusional and cocky. I just looked at that and went, there's no way I can do that better. There's no way.
Really?
Anything I would be doing is a karaoke version of that, because you have to understand, Ricky Gervais writes for himself. Mm-hmm. So he wrote this beautifully cocky, nerdy, unaware, delusional character that was perfect for him. Anything that we would do or I would do or any, you know, is not going to beat that. And so I didn't know, I wouldn't know how to approach it. So when they said, "Would you, you know, possibly be interested?" That doesn't mean that they necessarily wanted me for the role, but they were kind of like looking into it. You know, would you want to possibly do this? And
but
Steve Carell crushed it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's gone on to have an insanely prolific and brilliant career. But what Ricky Gervais, for those of you who haven't seen The British Office, take a look at what he was doing. It looks like a documentary. A brilliant, funny, awkward documentary.
Danielle's watched it 47 times.
Both versions. Both versions.
Are you like
it's
that with
incredible.
Any show? Like, do you go back? Do you go back and binge anything? Like, I want to go back and
Basically Entourage. I sit alone in my boxers and just watch myself. No, I'm just kidding. No, there are shows like Breaking Bad.
What I was gonna say. I want to go back. I want to binge that again.
Breaking Bad was genius.
Isn't it genius?
Yeah. It's absolutely incredible. It's, you know what's so interesting right now is there's more content than ever.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are people talking about? There's not a lot of shows everyone's going, "Oh, my God, have you seen, you know, right now?"
Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not unanimous. And, you know, since, you know, Game of Thrones have gone off the air, you know, what is everyone watching? I think we need that kind of next new show.
Jeremy Piven is our guest. You always come in and do the show, which I thank you very much for.
Thank you for having me.
He's at the Wilbur on Saturday.
Speaking of roles, now, I feel like people always associate certain roles with actors and actresses based on where they came in on their career and became fans and whatnot. So have you found in your career that people have trouble dissociating you from roles? Like, for instance, Ari, your relationship, you know, with Lloyd, you know, do people like, I don't like Jeremy Piven because he was so mean to Rex Lee? Or do people generally understand that you're not the character that you play
As a real person? They don't understand. They have no clue. I have people coming up to me going, bro, I'm a douchebag because of you. I'm sorry. I think you're killing the game on your own, brother. I don't know if you need me. No, all the time. While I'm doing my stand-up, they're yelling Lloyd. No, listen, the great news is I have a connection with people, and I made people laugh, and that means the world to me. I think when you play a character authentically, they associate you with that character, and it's fun, and that's my job to do that. But, you know, I'm starting a movie. I'm doing stand-up nonstop these days, but I'll be doing a movie in January. And it's my job every single role to figure out how do I fool them into thinking I'm this guy, you know, so that they can typecast me as I'm going to be playing a Chicago mobster next, you know. So that's the guy that, you know, and I'm from Chicago. And so that's what you have to keep doing, you know, to keep mixing it up. And kind of that's our job. But yeah, I have people coming up saying the craziest things, and I'll talk about this. I can't say it on the radio, so you have to come to the Wilbur Saturday night. But yeah, the things that they want me to yell into their phones.
Yes,
you know, tell my wife she's a rusty, blah blah blah. I can't say it right now. Yeah. No, sir, I can't tell your wife. I can't scream into your phone,
right?
Because just imagine if you were just recording it for TMZ, and
right? Playing it out of context. Right, yeah.
Have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I haven't seen it yet. I've been on the road. How is it?
I think Ken really liked it.
He loved it, yeah.
Awesome. Ken liked. I mean, there's been a lot of complaining about Bruce Lee's portrayal and whether it's racist or not.
I have no idea. I'm a huge fan of Bruce Lee. I love him. What a genius! So I don't know. I'll take a look at it and come back and talk. I can't speak on things I don't know.
Who were your when it comes to acting? Yeah. Who were your idols, like acting wise, growing up?
Well, I think it's like, you know, like anyone else. I was watching Marlon Brando, going, "What is that? That's fascinating." So he was a guy, and then there are guys right now like Idris Elba. To me, there's a show that he does called Luther. If you haven't seen it,
it's on the
BBC, and you can kind of find it anywhere. And he's just kind of crushing the game, and he's amazing. But yeah,
I think you work with somebody who I think is great and underrated a little bit, which is Chris Cooper.
I didn't work with Chris Cooper, but he is a genius. I'd love to work with. God, did I work with Chris Cooper? Yes, of course I did.
Yes,
in the kingdom. Sorry, in the kingdom. Yes, I work with him. Oh my God! Who am I? What time is it? You have to understand. I did three shows last night in New York.
Yeah, no.
I got on a plane. I haven't slept. I look probably as beaten up as any human being can.
I mean, you look either high or extremely intoxicated. I don't know.
Thank you so much.
I don't know.
That's amazing. I love when people come up to you on the street and they go, "Bro, you look really tired." I'm like, "Oh, thank
you." You're like, "Thanks. That's really
amazing.
Appreciate that."
Thanks
yeah.
For,
but
thanks
I,
for
well, I always
night?
I always flip it on them. I go, "Oh my God, really? Thank you so much." And then they get freaked out. Yeah. Like, wait, did I just
you didn't know?
Him?
Yeah.
So kind of you, bro.
Danielle was talking the other day about, I know, and I think you tweeted about it yesterday. Danielle was talking about the Amazon fires.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're raging.
And I know you're concerned about the climate, as many should be.
Yeah.
Do you tweet about that because that's on your mind?
I did. That's my last tweet. Yeah, I mean, you know, climate change is, I mean, you can't deny it. And there's a lot of great, actually, Leo made a great documentary about it. That's, listen, right now we're living in a time where you know, you can do articles about it, or you guys can talk about it, and it sounds didactic, or, you know, it's up to us to make it creative. And that's why Leo's doing some amazing things, where you put it into a documentary and you make it interesting and accessible, and so we can find out information that way. But it is real, and you know, if if we're worried about the generations to come, we got to start, you know.
The Boston Globe says we should ban all plastic bags here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
That would be amazing. That would be incredible, because that's one thing that is a huge, huge problem. And you can make fun of it, and comics do, you know, you walk around with a hemp bag, yeah. And, you know, what are you going to wear, dashiki? And we're living in times where weed is legal, but you can't have a straw.
Yeah,
really,
exactly.
What am I going to do, suck it out of a turtle? You know what I mean? Bro, you just killed 11 turtles. Just come on, bring it down a bit. You know what I mean? So, no, but I mean, it's funny, but at the same time, we can do our thing. And you know what's interesting about life is, like, starting is the hardest part, but if you started, like, you know, with, you know, having access to your own different types of bags and all that kind of stuff, you would get in the hang of it, because it's just like we all are comfortable with it. Give me that plastic bag, but it really is ruining the environment.
And you can say that because you're probably not flying private all over the place. Sometimes some of these guys who are flying private all over the place, it's a little bit hypocritical.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that going on. But, you know, I understand how fun it would be just to fly everywhere private. You know what I mean? I mean, not that I don't like TSA just putting their entire arm up me.
Right.
You know, and using me as a hand puppet. I'm like, sir, I think you're inside of me right now. I don't, you know, bro, you got anything coming out? Yeah, it's your arm out of my ass.
It's
got
to be the worst. By the way, if you're Jeremy Piven, and like you get seated next to a fan on a plane.
Oh, God. Yeah. Nightmare.
It has to be nightmare. An absolute torture.
No, look at me. I don't even look like this is what I look like rolling around. Look at me. I look like the Spanish Jeremy Piven. Yeah, take a picture of me and tweet it out. You can't tell it's me.
I'm going to take I'm gonna take a picture.
There's
Hold
no
on.
Way.
Look right here. I'm going to take a picture, and then I'm going to put it right on my Instagram.
There you go.
Right. You can carry off the fedora, though. Is that a fedora? Or what?
You know, it's so funny. I love it. The way you just said that is so perfect, because in any other country, it's like it's a hat. You know, I just you know, I didn't take a shower. I threw a hat on. Yeah. But a lot of people are like, bro, what is that? Is that a fedora, bro? Ah, don't be a douchebag, bro.
And you can carry off the jewelry too. Like, I mean,
I got some man jewelry on right now.
Yeah.
A little M. Cohen. I've got a
bringing it back.
You know, God, you're like CSI. You're like deconstructing everything on me, everything I'm eating.
Yeah.
You don't play around, dude.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, but you also want to take your shots. I kind of like it. It's kind of like tough love.
No, it's not.
It's like, listen, shape up.
It's not at all.
Okay.
And then I was reading about a film, American Night.
Yes.
Is that
with Emile Hirsch, who was actually in your movie with Brad Pitt that you just saw?
Yes.
He's Emile's incredible. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, Paz Vega. Finished that in Bulgaria. And then I'm going to be starting this other one in January. And literally all I've been doing every night is doing stand-up, because I figured out that the only way to get better is to just grind and just crush it and just get after it. Otherwise, it'll take you 20 years. And let's be honest.
Well, you did like 250 shows last year.
I did 250
shows last year.
Yeah, so I'm probably 400 shows into this game,
yeah.
Which I think, you know, on paper, that's, you know, if you do 400 hours, you know, and people are like, well, you've only been doing stand-up for a couple of years, man. You're a baby. But it's like, well, you know, I don't know. I've been on stage since I was 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started Second City with Chris Farley 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've done 70 movies, you know, with guys like Will Ferrell and whatnot. So I got a little background in comedy, and I think I have something to contribute a bit. So you'll see at the, you know, it's 9:30 at the Wilbur Theater.
Saturday night, Jeremy Piven, Wilbur Theater. Call it now. Pats, Bears, Super Bowl?
Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be incredible. That would be really incredible. You know, just to see Khalil Mack.
We owe you one. I mean, you got us once.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
We did. We did in 85.
That was because of the fridge.
In 85.
Yeah, that was because of the fridge.
But I don't know. I mean, like, Khalil Mack is one of those guys that I feel like might be able to keep up with Julian Edelman. You know, there's a certain little variables, like, that are going to be going on there. I would love to see that Super Bowl. Let's what's will it to happen? If it happens, we're going to go together.
Private?
Let's do it.
No plastic straws.
No plastic straws.
No plastic bags.
No, we're going to be in matching hemp onesies.
All hemp
onesies.
Hemp jerseys.
Man jewelry.
Yep.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Let's do it, man.
All right,
bring it back.
Thank you, guys.
That's Jeremy Piven, who was in here yesterday, and Curtis felt he was on something. But I don't know, Wiggy. You know,
sounds when, a little bit like he, you know, he sounded a little bit like he might have had a little cuckoo juice in him.
No,
yeah,
I don't think so. Yeah,
why did you say that to his face, Wiggy?
He's that kind of.
I didn't really want.
You should have told Wiggy that we were interviewing him yesterday, so he could come in and
over the interview.
Well, I remember him smoking Aces.
Smoking Aces
is when
great
he played
movie.
Buddy Israel. So I mean, I wasn't a big Entourage guy. So
you weren't?
No. No, I wasn't a big Entourage guy.
Such a great show. What about Gross Point Blank? Great movie.
No, I don't remember that one. Yeah,
no?
I know who he is. Like I said, but I remember him from Smoking Aces. So
how do you not like Entourage?
It's not that I don't like it. I just never really got into it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like me saying to you, how do you not like Power?
Yeah, I like that show.
Okay.
I watched that for a while.
Yeah. See.
Breaking Bad, he brought up Breaking Bad. The news today is that the Breaking Bad movie has already been filmed in secret and it's done. Yes.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yes, it's done.
Dunsky.
It's done. It's been filmed in secret and
see,
it's
I
done.
Never got into Breaking Bad.
Oh, what? So good,
Game
Wiggy.
Of Thrones. I got like after Sopranos and that like weird ending, I was out on TV shows. And I was a big fan of Oz. And Oz completely just went off the air with no. And so I was like, you know what? I'm not wasting, you know, 4 or 5 years of my life. And then all of a sudden, they just leave me hanging.
I like the Sopranos ending. I didn't like it when it happened, but I like it upon reflection.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I do. Because it leaves it to your imagination. That's why I like it.
But listen, you're directing. Like, I don't want to think. Don't make me think that hard. Entertain me now.
Yeah.
Now I got to think for the next 10 years. What happened? Did Tony get killed? What's going on?
Did Meadow die?
And like, now we got the prequel to The Sopranos.
Yeah,
so,
so your thing is you don't want to think.
No,
ever.
No, like, no. It's not that I don't want to think. I want to be entertained.
You want to be entertained.
Yes.
Right. Like you don't want any mental effort whatsoever.
No, I want to leave and go, oh, okay, see why he did that. Yeah. It's like, you know, my boy Jordan Peele now with all his movies. It's like, Get Out and Us. It's like I go to the movies. Now I got to figure out
what happened.
Well, no, it's not even what happened. I got to figure out what the underlining racial tone of the movie is. It's like, dude, just
entertain me.
Yeah, you know, let me be scared for whatever it is. Like now I'm like, really?
All right, Wiggy's here. We're going to be joined by Julian Edelman at some point this morning. If you want to be on, you can call 617-779-7937 or you can text 37937.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Moxie Soda, distinctively different. Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Patriots beat the Panthers 10-3 last night in their third preseason game. Tom Brady saw his first action of the season, playing the entire first quarter and a bit of the second. Brian Hoyer did not play. Jared Sittum relieved Brady in the second and played the rest of the game. Pats moved to 3-0 on the preseason. Their final preseason game is against the Giants next Thursday night at Gillette. Special teamer Brandon King was carted off the field last night, is reportedly out for the season with a torn quad. Pat safety Patrick Chung was indicted on August 8th in Belknap County, New Hampshire for felony possession of cocaine. His arraignment set for Wednesday, August 28th. That's next Wednesday at 8:45 a.m. And it only took 12 minutes for Brock Holt to hit a walk-off double during yesterday's resumed game between the Red Sox and Royals. Sox start an 8-game West Coast road trip tonight against the Padres in San Diego. 9:10 pregame on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. First pitch at 10:10 with Joe Castiglione and Josh Lewin. Celtics legend Bob Cousy was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Trump yesterday in an Oval Office ceremony. Hint is pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, mouth-watering water. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Well, I just suffered through a 5-minute dissertation from Wiggy on how bad films and television shows are when he has not explained exactly what the ending is.
Yes.
As if no one can think for themselves.
Well, why am I thinking for myself? I'm paying you money to go into this movie, whether you're the writer or director, make me walk out and go, man, that was a good movie. I like the way they ended that thing off.
What was the Spike Lee movie that you were talking about that you couldn't stand?
See You Yesterday.
I didn't see it. The movie was great.
But the ending was like, it's like M. Night Shyamalan, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the worst directors out there. I'm almost like, if this guy can make movies, I know I can.
He's the worst.
He is the worst. I'm like, I'm watching The Village here. Spoiler alert, it's like Village. Oh, this is interesting. Wait a second. There's a highway right outside this place, and it's 1970?
Wiggy likes movies like The Titanic, where you know it sinks.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the purpose of you going to the movie. You're not supposed to go to the movie, and then at the end of the movie, it's like reading a book, and then when you get to the end of it, they don't explain it. What's the purpose?
I mean, isn't the purpose? There are people who like to go to a film and then be challenged to think about it.
What's Sopranos? What's the challenge there?
You have to think about whether or not Tony got shot by those guys. You have to wonder when Meadow. I mean, spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. When Meadow pulled up, did they get back at him by killing her outside? I mean, you have to kind of you have to put your mind to work a little.
But why
bit
not just tie up those loose ends and have it in the show?
To be honest with you, I think when it came to the Sopranos, they didn't tie the loose ends up because they were thinking that they were going to do a feature film at some point later on. I think that's probably why.
That would make sense because then Gandolfini died. I mean, they weren't expecting that.
If James Gandolfini hadn't have died, then there would have been a feature film, I think.
But can't you tie up the loose ends in the TV show and still make the feature film?
No, because that doesn't give you want people to be waiting for the film to figure out what happened.
Can you explain Inception to us?
No. That one, I will never try to explain that one to you. That one is, I don't know if it's dream world. It's like, I'm still trying to figure out, and I know they're doing the remake of The Matrix. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Do you like the Bourne movies, Wiggs?
I do like the Bourne movies, but at the end, they kind of tie up the movies a little bit, even though there might be a sequel coming next.
Well, you knew it was a trilogy, but you know those didn't end with everything tied up, each of those three movies.
Yeah, but they tied up most of the loose ends to the movie. When you don't, like in The Sopranos, I don't think they tied up anything. It's just, they just ended it. They fade to black. Like, really? Come on.
This is Nick from Weymouth. Hey, Nick, what's up?
Hey, the disturbing thing for me at the end of The Sopranos was you had the premise there. They were going to this particular restaurant because they had the best onion rings, I don't know, in New Jersey, whatever.
Holstons.
And then they whipped those things out. They're disgusting, kitty litter, battered things. I wouldn't give those to a raccoon.
I think that Holston's restaurant still has that booth reserved.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure
so
they
you can't
do.
Sit at it.
No, I mean.
So you like movies when you leave, you got to figure out the ending for yourself.
I don't want to necessarily figure the ending out for myself, but I don't mind if there's some thinking and reflecting involved in trying to figure out what happened. I mean, I feel like you want to go home, take a nap, get a chicken parm sub or whatever, and never think about the movie.
No, I want to go there and enjoy the movie, come out and be like, oh, that was entertaining. I like how they did this.
What are your three favorite films of all time?
Training Day. They tied up the end.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
They kill Alonzo at the light. Spoiler
alert. Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah, yeah.
That's one of my favorite.
Aladdin.
And A Little Mermaid.
Yeah, they didn't tie that one up. That's one of my favorite movies. I would say another movie that I was really entertained with would be Goodfellas. Yeah, and they tied up that thing at the end.
What about a movie like Usual Suspects?
I did like Usual Suspects, but they tied that up at the end. Kaiser Sose, we know, is Kevin Spacey's character. Spoiler alert.
Right. Again, with the spoiler alerts.
Well, I mean, it's been, what, 15, 20 years? But at least at the end of the movie, right, they tie all the loose ends up. Can you imagine if it just ends there and we never figure out who Kaiser Sose is? The director or whoever the writer says, oh, we have to figure that out on our ride home?
Here's a 860 text, which is from the home continent of Connecticut. Yeah, buddy. Which says that Breaking Bad is probably the finest ending of any television program ever. I agree with Wiggy. I watch a lot of television, and I don't think they end many shows well.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of Oz. You remember Oz?
Yes.
And the show just, I don't know if it got canned, but it just went off the air. I think when you're looking at final seasons, like I'm a big fan of Power. This is the final season of Power. So you have to now end this for me where I don't have to ask a million questions.
Yeah, but I don't know that they can ever win. If a show is on, like, take a like Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
I don't know that there was any way that they were ever going to win when it came to that finale, because people have an expectation of what it's going to be, and everybody doesn't have the same expectation.
Well, everybody's fully invested into the show for different reasons. They each want certain things to happen. They each have a thought that should happen.
Right.
And so you're never going to appease everyone. So in a way, Sopranos gave everybody the opportunity to create the ending that they wanted for themselves.
No, but and I've never seen Game of Thrones, but I heard people talking about it. At least things happen and you go, oh, I can't believe that they made whatever the lady with the white hair's character name is. They did this with her, or the king got killed or something like that. When you do that, you might be looking for different things. But at least you ended the show. With The Sopranos, there's you don't know what happened with Tony. You don't understand what the whole scene is, them in this diner.
So basically, it ruined for you. It ruined the whole time that you had invested in that.
Nothing.
That's
really.
I can't believe
imagine having sex and it'd be the best sex in the world, and then all of a sudden, she goes, oh, he goes, stop. That's it. I gotta go.
Oh, so many people are cringing right now because that's happened to them.
Figure out the end on your own. I mean, like, if that's what it's like. You invest yourself into the whatever how many seasons of The Sopranos were, and then at the end, it's like, really?
Can we go back to your Game of Thrones thing?
Oh, yes.
Good.
No, I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I don't know what to tell you, Curtis.
A 508 texter wants to know what you think about Pulp Fiction, Wiggy.
Pulp Fiction, another one where they kind of tied up the ending a little bit. They never tell you what's in that briefcase.
Right.
But they tie up the ending and what happens to the characters.
Siskel and Wiggy is going to be a new weekend show. Yes. I can't wait. Yeah.
I'm a movie buff.
Well, you have to explain everything to him. He wants somebody like to be seated next to him in the theater who is explaining.
But that's what the director's for, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's why we're paying tons of money.
He needs like the cliff notes on a movie afterwards. This is Robert. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Real quick, I just want to explain the ending of The Sopranos to you.
Yes.
Now, he dies. James Gandolfini died.
Yeah.
In an episode before, he's talking to his brother-in-law, and they talk about getting hit when what happens, and the brother-in-law says everything just goes black.
Yeah.
Now, back at the restaurant, whenever someone walks through the diner door, he looks at the diners who's coming in, and you see his point of view. And the last person to walk through the door, who I assume was Meadow, he went to look, but then you just saw black, which was him getting hit. Because when you get hit, that's all you see is black. It's all over.
Well, but see, this is what Wiggy doesn't like. He wants you to see that. He wants it to end with that.
Yeah, because we don't know that happened.
Right. You want to know that that's what happened.
Well, I want to at least know something, you know, along those lines. Maybe he gets hit and he doesn't die, but you just see him and, you know, you could think, did he die or did they relieve him? Or is there going to be more to this?
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
How are we? Hey, Wiggy, I'm glad you never watched Dallas. You might have lost your mind.
I guess they're still trying to figure out what happened to JR, right?
Well, this texter says that they're with you, that it's just the writers get lazy.
That's all it is. Lazy writing.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it is, Danielle.
No.
Lazy writing and lazy directing. That's why anybody could just like, oh, we're just going to end it here like this. That's, to me, that's lazy. You went all this way. You made every show and make me the episodes and thinking, and then you end up, that's just being lazy.
But you can't say that they're lazy if you go after the fact and look at all the interviews that David Chase has done about the way in which that was written and how it was an intentional thing. Like, yes, are there writers that do get lazy? Absolutely. I don't think that's the case with The Sopranos.
I mean, listen, the last season of Game of Thrones was considered by most to be an epic failure.
Right.
An absolute epic failure. Now, I don't know that's because the writers gave up. I just think because it didn't live up to the expectations that a lot of people had for what was going to happen in their mind.
Well, I think it is laziness. Just like I've been following the Marvel MCU universe, and then they give me that garbage Avengers Endgame. And to me, it's lazy and...
Do you go to? You must go to a lot of movies. I feel like you go to a lot of movies.
I'm a big movie guy.
Now, do you like to go where they serve you the food and that you can recline?
No, I don't. I don't have any of that on the side of town I live on.
Oh, they don't. No, they don't. Yes, they do.
They don't.
Yes, of course.
You're
they do.
Not a Showcase sure. Cinemas in Revere, guys.
Yeah, you're not where they're walking up to you and they're serving you food.
No.
You live in a very nice town. What are you talking about?
We don't have that.
We don't have that in the area.
North Shore. You're not getting that at Liberty Tree.
Will you stop pretending that you're?
I'm telling you, you're not getting it at Revere.
No.
They don't.
No. You got to go like outside the 128 belt to get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know that the place. The only place I know is about the place in Chestnut Hill. What is it?
Oh, you go down by Fenway. The one down by Fenway has it. Yeah. They have it. They have it down there.
Yes. The one by Fenway's
right there on the other side, on the back side of Fenway.
You know how long it takes to get from Fenway? Right.
Why would I go
all the way
from the North Shore down to Fenway when I could go to the Liberty Tree Mall? It's 5 minutes away.
And I'm at the AMC Liberty Tree website, and they have that. They serve you in your seats.
No, they don't.
I've never seen
no,
that.
No, they don't.
Since when, Curtis?
And they actually have a picture with Wiggy getting a massage during the movie.
Yes, I was getting my feet rubbed.
By Prince Andrew?
By Prince Andrew. Hello, John. Imagine if at the end... hold on, John. Imagine if at the end of The Sopranos, Prince Andrew came in and got a foot rub right in front of Tony Soprano.
From Marcellus Wallace's.
With Jeffrey Epstein. Hello, John.
Hey! I always go to bat for Wiggy, but I gotta clap back a little bit.
All right,
Wiggy. Yep. The Sopranos was beautiful. That guy just explained it to you how all you see is black. That's beautiful. I never watched Breaking Bad, but I heard it's great to watch. And Game of Thrones, I think, ended well. It's more of a political statement. That girl was saying she liberated all these countries.
Yeah,
that's like the liberals right there, right? The female liberal. She gets killed at the end by a conservative guy.
I don't think that was the intent.
Like, what's the best movie you saw in, you know, recent time, 2018, 2019? What are the best movies y'all saw?
Well, my favorite film of all time is Beautiful Girls.
Well, not of all time. I'm just saying within, you know, like the last year or so. Like, you go, all right,
I don't even know what I've watched that's new in, like, the last year. Yeah. Because I haven't gone to movies in a minute.
I don't know. I'd be hard-pressed to say what the best film that I've seen. I watch a lot of stuff. I don't think, I mean, I don't know that there's been a great... What won the Oscar last year? I don't even remember.
Was it Green Book? No.
That was a pretty good Green... No, what was that called? Was that called Green Mile?
Green Book.
Yep. That was a good movie.
Yes. Yeah. The Green Mile is the other one.
Yeah. That was
Tom
a good,
Hanks.
Green Book, that was a good movie.
Yeah. In the ending. I mean, and I know the ending might be a little bit different because it's kind of like based on a true story. So maybe you're not going... Like Us, it's hard to explain Us, but Us was like... You know, was getting all these rave reviews of this movie, and it's the Jordan Peele, and his movies are like his movies go down that M. Night Shyamalan. I'm just like, you know.
What is your issue with M. Night Shyamalan?
You didn't like the beginning of Signs when they had to call everybody in to say goodbye to the mother before they moved the truck and she died? Spoiler alert.
What movie was this?
Signs. Was that Signs?
Yeah.
Right?
Signs is a good movie.
That's the one that hit him with the baseball bat with the...
with the alien thing?
Yeah, the alien claw comes out under the...
Yeah.
No, that was
the
Field
door.
Of Dreams.
That was Field of Dreams.
But that was the only movie. Or did you ever see his movie, the stupid one with Mark Wahlberg, The Happening?
The Happening. The plants are killing us. It's like climate change. Everyone fell off the roof. He got run over by the lawnmower. Mark Wahlberg could have stopped
that,
like 9/11.
And then all of a sudden it stops, and then we're like, okay, maybe we're out of the water. And then all of a sudden in Europe, comes.
By the way, you are enraging the sports radio hardos right now by talking about movies. They're losing their mind.
Let's get back to the third preseason game. You know, it's the dress rehearsal, right?
That's what they want. Some sports radio hardos like, day after the Patriots play, you're talking about movies? Tell Wiggy to shut up. Wiggy spent 40 minutes on the game last night during the 6 o'clock hour. But we will be joined by Julian Bubs Edelman sometime on today's show before we get out of here at 10.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
There you go, Wiggy.
There you go. Little Jay-Z. He ain't all the way gone.
Wiggy is here, and we're getting word now that there may be some kind of an issue with Julian Edelman coming on the show today.
Curtis, you just found out, you're finding out about this right now.
On the fly.
Maybe things have not been settled with the Julian's appearance on this program or something?
What I am told, this is what we are going with. He is unable to do the radio today.
Because of
his injury. So he wouldn't be available to join us today. Hope he'll be here next week.
Okay. All right.
Makes
there
sense.
You go. Well, Wiggy, you can relate.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you know, you were oft injured.
I was off injured.
Oft, oft, as yes. in often.
Often. Well, no, it wasn't. I mean, I only missed one game in my career.
That's it. Only one.
That's it.
With what?
A broken hand.
Broken hand.
Yep.
How'd you do it? Through a window at Chung's place or something like that, or what was
chicken parm sub?
Danielle's right on the money. I didn't get my chicken parm. I smashed the table. Next thing you know, I broke my hand. Coach is like, "What happened?" I'm like, "I think it was on some play, Coach." It's like, "Well, why are we getting reports? It was you over a chicken parm."
Let's see. Here's a 617 text that says, "I've been listening all morning, and it is so frustrating to hear Wiggy apologize all morning for Patrick Chung."
What's the apology?
I didn't get that you were apologizing for.
No, I said most people, right? Don't we need the information?
Yeah. I mean, I think he, like anybody else, is in the United States, is presumed innocent until proven guilty, correct?
You can't automatically connect that to him. It would be the same thing if it happened at anybody else's house. You can't automatically just be like, "Oh, it's in your house, so it's yours."
Is that true, though?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, how often do you think in the United States that the police come to somebody's home and there's cocaine there that's not theirs?
Probably pretty often.
A lot.
You think
probably
so?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Well, I mean, in the event of Peyton Manning, when you have HGH, it's obviously for your wife.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Ashley,
and Roger Clemens. That was
correct.
The thing.
Yes.
But I think if that's a little bit different. Like if it's like a specific PD, like there's,
Are you saying the cocaine is not a performance-enhancing drug?
Then again, LT did use it. He's probably one of the greatest outside linebackers to ever play the game. But to instantly, Danielle's right, to instantly think that just because it's in Patrick Chung's house that it's instantly his, that's just like, that would be stupid of me to do that. Because we don't know what the situation is. It's one thing if Patrick Chung was driving in a car, they pull the car over, they take him out, and they find cocaine in his pocket. Then you could go.
Yeah,
like,
or in the console or something. Like that, you know.
Right, you know, but even then, it's like, depending
that's
who's,
questionable
whose car
too.
Is
who's
it.
The car. Right. Yeah, right.
But you find it on somebody's person, okay.
Yeah, that's
you can,
different.
But now it's like whether, you know, like it's in his house, he's not there. Like you said, Greg, it's Stern kind of like, all right, they know that he's not going to be around. When was the last time he was at his house? Where was he when the police, you know, when they actually were able to find him and say, "Hey, this is what we found"? So I don't think that's being apologetic. I think it's kind of trying to figure out the situation here.
Well, it was June 25th, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
He was not there. The alarm went off at the house. The police went. I'm assuming that they walked through the place, and I'm assuming that he knew they were going to walk through the place, right?
Well,
if he wasn't there and the alarm went off, the police automatically go to the residence. So I'm not sure he would have been aware that they were going to be coming
But doesn't the alarm company call you, or don't the police call you when they're going to say, no, they just go
there? I always thought the alarm company would call you and say, "Hey, listen, your alarm's going because there's a special code that you need to shut it off."
Right.
That's what I always thought, right?
Yeah.
And then once...
So you could say that if he knew something was there... that he would have stopped. He would have said, "No, it's all good."
You
no
know,
need to check it out
because they could be like, "The police are headed there. What's going on?" And he could be like, "Oh, that was my kid who tripped it, or whatever it may be," and that kind of thing. No need for the police or fire department to come out.
Here's a text that says, "Greg, you watch live PD. If it's in your home, the police assume that it's yours." Well, yeah, and they're pretty tough. They're pretty tough in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. Did I read 3 to 7 years?
Yes.
is what Patrick Chung is facing.
Yeah.
And I don't know when it comes to a first time offender, how New Hampshire deals with it. If they're really tough, does he end up looking at jail time?
According to Mike McCann, a Class B felony is a worrisome charge under New Hampshire law. A conviction would carry a potential sentence of 3.5 to 7 years in prison.
The problem is, though, it's because it's in his home. It's really hard for them to pin this to him. So I think that's why it ultimately gets thrown out. Right? You could say, like, yeah, the laws are strict out there or that kind of thing. But unless it's an airtight case, how do you really pin it on Patrick Chung? You know, I mean, yeah, it's in his house, but his lawyers could say he could be like, his lawyers, hey, he rented it out on Airbnb or whatever it may be. You don't know.
508 Texas says, I wouldn't be surprised if the cops planted it. Well, why would they do that?
Yeah, I don't see that. It's like movie stretch.
Right.
That goes. That's like along your lines of when you said you think that maybe somebody broke in to have a party.
It's nice to hear from Fitzy this morning. Texting in.
Checking in.
Like, I never, like, the party thing, you would, because the alarms just go off. You got 30 seconds to shut that thing off before the owner's notified and cops come.
I was in Newton at my girlfriend's house at the time, and I triggered the alarm, turned it off in time, but it had buzzed to the police, and they came even though the alarm was off. So,
what about just letting his boys like use the house or whatever? Like, I mean, is that theoretically what had happened?
I think that's more likely than not what happened is that somebody that he has a relationship with, friendship, acquaintance with, they might have been there at his house and. That doesn't mean he knew, because maybe he didn't know, and they were probably just hanging out doing some things. They shut their alarm off on the way out, forgot to, finish up their rippers, left a line or two left over or whatever, a baggie, whatever the police found, because they haven't told us exactly what they found. We just know that it wasn't enough to make the indictment of possession with the intent to sell, right? So we just know that it was for personal use.
Normally, in this kind of case, you just blame a cousin or something.
Yeah.
If you're a New England Patriot or otherwise, there's somebody who's willing to take that fall.
Right, but in this case, I don't think you really even have to go that far because no one's there. So it's just like you could just play like, I don't know.
And the fall guy gets paid a significant amount of money, right? And when he takes the fall.
Don't you have a fall guy?
I don't have a fall guy. I don't need a fall guy.
Is Monkey the fall guy?
Yeah, John Egan. Yeah, I don't need a fall guy.
Your fall guy's always got to be somebody who's done time before. So
yeah,
you don't crack under pressure.
Right, yeah.
You don't want a fall guy who's like new to it and it's like, he paid me to do it. You want somebody who's hardened. You want a hardened criminal to be your fall guy.
Did you used to have a fall guy?
Well, I told you I didn't need fall guys because they made sure they didn't do any of the illegal activity around me. If they did illegal activity, which I have no idea.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Wiggy already addressed it. There's a texter who wants your full breakdown of the game last night. You already addressed this during the 6 o'clock hour. You can address it again. You're not
the full breakdown.
You're not there. You do not pay any attention.
It's preseason.
To preseason whatsoever.
No,
you don't put any
stock,
any meaning stock into it whatsoever.
No, I don't. And I think what we're gonna see moving forward, we've heard Aaron Rodgers talk about it. We've seen Sean McVay, the coach of the LA Rams. He's not even playing his guys. And I think what ultimately is gonna happen is that. We're going to see the preseason either get cut down to 2 games because these guys really don't need to play in the preseason. Like Brady doesn't need to play in it. Julian doesn't need to play in it. We've seen Gronk last year not play in any preseason games and go out there and do what he does. Like Kyle Van Noy was playing in it last night. We really don't need to see him in it. All it does is put a guy in position where he potentially could injure himself, whether it's a non-contact or a contact injury.
Well, so, but players don't want it. Coaches want it, though.
I don't even think coaches want it. You know, I don't even know how much they really want it. I think they want it for maybe the young guys, the Jacoby Myers, the guys that might be like potential bubble guys, because those rosters are all set. Let's be honest. When you think about a 53-man roster, they already got 49 of those guys already locked in and penciled in. The preseason is for maybe a handful of guys to see, oh, can he play when the bright lights are on? That's all the preseason's for. And you don't want to put Brady out there. All it takes is, him getting rolled up on or that kind of thing.
Can you even imagine if that ever happened? The outrage in Patriot Nation.
I mean, think about
it. Nick would die.
Think about this. How many times have we yelled about the Patriots leaving Brady in games where it's 40-3 against the Buffalo Bills at the end of the year? And like, what is he doing? So imagine in the preseason game, forget about it.
I mean, can you is there a takeaway from Gostkowski missing a field goal?
Well, the only thing I would say about that is the new holder, which is the new punter, which they just let Ryan Allen go. He kind of had the laces in, or the laces in towards Gostkowski. So maybe there could be a little bit of kind of residue there as far as new holder, who's the new punter. But the kid punted the ball pretty well, though. I mean, if you really want to get into the weeds, you want to get...
How deep in the weeds do we want to go?
Special teams talk.
Wiggy, there are people listening who do. I personally, how deep you want to go? Stay on the surface. I think you've gone deep enough this morning. Well, you have definitely
For all those people that want to know, the preseason is just... Don't worry about it.
Don't pay any attention to anything that happens.
No.
Nothing.
Not in my...
Unless, as you said earlier, it's a rookie receiver who does not show up when Tom Brady is there.
Yes, that's the only thing you can take out of it.
That is the only thing.
No matter how good he does, you really can't take nothing out of that because we've seen that before. Players having unbelievable preseasons and then getting cut. The only thing you can take away from a preseason is when the guy that's expected to do something is now at their first unit, like we saw last night in Jacoby Myers, and goes out there and has a bad one. Then it's like, uh-oh.
And you're concerned about that.
Yes.
Very concerned about that.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if they cut him and put him on practice squad.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Based on that?
Oh,
yeah. That alone last night?
That's all it takes.
Really?
Yeah, that's all it takes. You do good in practice, but it's practice. Now you get out there when the lights are bright. Now there's officials out there. You're going against the other team's ones. These are the guys who are going to be playing, and then you don't run through the route. We already heard him talking about how Brady yelled at him. It's like, I don't run through that route. I get called for a holding. I drop a football.
All right, Wiggy's here. 617-779-7937 is the number. Or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.